The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life. That's the fun of it. It has nothing to do with life. But smiling is always good. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think he is. Make sure you're busy doing the kingdom stuff. And not just playing busy. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Me too. If I would. If you would. If we would. Boy, we should. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Good question. Also, a Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Now, you might have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question. You might have a praise report, a prayer request. Something we often do on the show is pray for people. You might have something the Lord is working on your life in, and you just want to share it. Maybe there's something special for the Christian community, as long as it's not kind of like a financially kind of plug. If it's a community plug, it's all totally awesome, cool. Here's the bottom line to the show. We're just trying to create a Christian fellowship on the air. We're not trying to be your church. We're trying to be your brothers and sisters in the Lord, encouraging one another as we see the day approaching. Now, in order to participate in that, you can just listen. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want to do, God bless you. You can also call us up, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You end up talking a terrific tea, always terrific. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, that connects us to our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie, artichokey. Let's talk about a couple things right off the bat. You want to hear something cool? I'm going to say something cool that, you know, sometimes things happen in life and they're like a bummer and they make you frown. But sometimes things happen and you think, hey, that's totally cool. And it's even though it's difficult, there's still something that worked out through it. I'm just going to make this as simple as possible. In the last 24 hours, I broke two of my reader glasses. Okay. Well, I need readers. So I have readers all over the place. I have one in my bag, one in my car. I have one in my office, one in the front desk area, one in the back desk area. I have them everywhere. Okay. In the bathroom, everywhere. Okay. So I broke two of them. I was like, oh. But last night, I thought maybe I should go online and just order some readers. So fortunately, that's exactly what I did. I have all these readers coming on Monday, $15. I got like four or five more readers coming. And I broke another one this morning. I was thinking, this is good timing. Good timing for new readers. That or they all have an expiration date and somebody forgot to tell me. That wouldn't surprise me. It's kind of like your computer. We warranty this right up until this point. The day after, you're like going, hey, what's wrong with you? It's just like it all of a sudden it dies. Okay, so I thought that was a cool thing to share. Hey, it's the little things, and you might not think very much about that, but let me point out something. The Lord knows all the numbers of our hairs on our head, right? and seeing is pretty important when you're doing stuff in the context of being able to comprehend it, see it, and absolve it. And so my point in that is that it's important to me, so it's important to the Lord. And that's the key in understanding that. It's not that some of the things that we desire are bad or wrong or any of those things. It's just that they're important to us, and the Lord knows they're important to us. Keep in mind, He created your DNA. He made you the way you are. And so He knows what's important to you, and He knows what you need, and He knows what to do to help you. So if you keep that in mind, it might be a little bit more of a positive when something happens. Maybe the Lord's preparing something altogether different to come behind it. In my case, I think the readers were on the way, and I just didn't realize that they were all going to break together. But hey, what can you do? All right, let me get into this first teaching, and then we'll go from there. We've got a lot to cover. We are going to be doing a very intense discussion in the second hour, but let me talk about this real quickly. This is coming out of John chapter 4, verses 30 through 34. It says this: they went out of the city, and when they were coming to him, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." And he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, "No one brought him anything to eat, did he?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Now, let's just start off with the honesty of all of it. I'm a foodie. I like food. Sorry.
Me too.
Food's great. It's a delight. I was just reading today. Listen to this. This is how warped we've become as a society. In the desert, God fed the children of Israel manna. And if you look in Psalm 78, it says that manna is the food of angels. Okay, so, I mean, it's got to be pretty good, right? I mean, it just sounds fantastic. But what happened is because they were so fleshly, they preferred the meat. And so they were like, meh. And see, our tastes are a little warped out, and we just love these sugar rushes and love all these things. And who doesn't like barbecue ribs? Or who doesn't like, I mean, come on. Let's just be honest. And so we go through that, and you go through a little bit of the up and down, a little bit of the bulge. And I know that, you know, I've read Sugar Blues. I've gone through the whole thing, been through there 1,000 times. This is way beyond that. Now, being a foodie, I appreciate food. But this statement that Jesus made is outrageous, something we should all hunger for. So the people were getting ready to come to Jesus. The disciples come back. They bring him food. He hasn't eaten physical food. And they're like, "Hey, you got to eat, man. You have to eat, okay? This is a eat time." Jesus said, No. "I have food to eat that you do not know about." Now, this piques their interest because they like food. I mean, it's not like they don't like food. What do you mean? Who fed him? Did he get Domino's while we were gone? I missed this. Did he go through Jack in the Box? I didn't see that. And then Jesus said this: "My food is to do the will of him who sent me," that's one, "and to accomplish his work," that's two. And what Jesus was communicating was, as much as you like food, appreciate that, props to everybody who's a foodie, really, if you can understand Jesus, he's got a food that is so superior, it's like beyond the food that we eat, more like the food of the angels. It's to do his will, that's number one, and number two, to accomplish his work. Now, this will blow your mind when I tell you that. You're just going to say, "Oh, you've lost it, Spoon. You got to go to therapy." Two words, therapy. Number one, when you to do his will, in other words, when you go after it and try to accomplish his will and seeking to find the very things, which, by the way, I just realized just in this moment, we're going to be talking about in the next hour, is finding that will and doing that will. Here's the thing. You find a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction that nothing else can bring you, and it's like eating a satisfying meal. And before you say, "Well, I know what God's will is for me," it's not just a matter of doing God's will in a moment, but Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." That gives you the understanding that it's ongoing. So many of us think, "Well, you know, I go to church, you know, I let them see me." That's really nice of you. Here's the thing I'm trying to communicate. There is a satisfaction that comes from the Lord that only God can grant that goes beyond the satisfactions that we can bring into our own lives. It's beyond our understanding. It only comes from Him in the sense of satisfaction, and it gives you a greater satisfaction than the greatest fleshly satisfaction you can come up with. At the base of every human is bread, and Jesus started the whole thing off by man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Already in the beginning of his ministry, in teaching us and in putting it in Holy Writ, we already know, there's some other food that God wants us to get in touch with. And then we find out this part of food, isn't it cool how he attaches all these things to food? He goes, look, if you live to do his will every day, not on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. If you live to do his will, and then you accomplish his work, which means you keep doing the work until it's finished. And we're not the only people in the world. I mean, even in the scripture, Archippus was told to finish the ministry that he'd been given. We have a job to finish. Guess when you're done? When you hear da-da-da and you're up in the air, you can stop. Until then, you're not done. So this gives us a sense of satisfaction in food that the most awesome food in the world that I love cannot give me. Doing his will and accomplishing his task, finishing that task, that gives me a greater satisfaction than I will ever be able to find in my flesh, period. For me, for you, from Jesus. Get it? All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, now that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, we got our first trivia question. Kind of a classic. In what book of the Bible, think Old Testament, in what book of the Bible do you find the words, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart"? Man looks at the outward appearance, hence why everybody's so addicted to fame, so to speak. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. If you think you know the answer to that, you can call in 972-445-0770. That's the number you would call. Okay. Or if you want to text in, you text in 214-210-8483. So you just want to separate that because I keep getting calls on this line. It's like, no, you got to call the other line. That's how we got to do this because I can't take calls on the texting phone. It's complex. Just follow those directions. That'll be fine. Do we have somebody already ready to answer? Do you see how fast people are? We didn't even get to finish the thing. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Jason Regan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I think it was 1 Samuel when God was talking to Samuel saying, don't be afraid to anoint David as king.
That is 100% correct. You are there. It's 1 Samuel 16:7. What originally happened is David's eldest brother walked in, and then Samuel was like, oh, that's got to be the guy. And it's like, no. I don't look at it the way you look at it. See, and even Samuel, great prophet, total awesome man of God, was caught off initially by physical, and God's like, no, we look at the inside, not the outside. Excellent job. Very, very good work. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. You did a great job. You there? Oh, I think we lost him. Okay. Well, great job. That's what I want to say. Excellent work. Thank you. See, that's what I love. You just call and answer, do your best, right? And he was spot on, man. It's like 1 Samuel 16, he nailed it. Good job. Good job, my brother. All right. Here we go. Let's see. That's that. We did that. Oh, we got to do DNA. We didn't do DNA. Let's do quick DNA. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but you should know this. This is what you're built from. D, N, and A stand for something. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Not weekly, not monthly, not yearly. Daily. Okay. Give us this day our daily bread. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, no matter what anybody says, anywhere, anytime, no matter what. Because you don't want Jesus to be ashamed of you, right? There you go. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means you have a heart for God and a heart for God's people, which talks, that really is a great summation of loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay? All right. Good. All right. I'm going to do this thing from Ray. And here's the amazing, this is one of those days where, you know how you have way too many coincidences take place? So I remember I've talked to you about Rob and Cindy. They're my friends for many, many, many years. I've known Rob. Rob's been one of my best friends since 91 or 01, 11. So it's 30 years, right? That's a long time. So he called me. We talked briefly today. He's in Idaho, right? Land of the potato. And he loves it. It's going great. And I said, well, how you doing? What's happening with you? And he said this to me, and I'm using this because of what Pastor Ray wrote in his devotional, right? Rob said to me, I'm having a hard time chilling out. And I'm like, okay. He goes, Cindy, doing great. She's just, it's beautiful here. It's great. It's wonderful. It's like a whole different country. People are really nice. She's really clean. It's just awesome. He said, but I'm having just a difficult time, settling, okay? And I want to bring that up because Pastor Ray wrote this devotional. Listen to what he says, okay? This is called Take Care of Yourself. This is what Ray wrote. I visited a friend in the hospital who ended up there due to self-neglect. Tests she put off, recurring health problems she chose to deny, and for all her Christian service and care for other people, she saw no need to take care of herself. Like so many, her past is checkered with loss and abuse, pain and heartache, and somehow she came to believe the lie that she just isn't important enough or worth enough to take care of herself properly. Too many people believe their lives are meaningless. They are insecure, unsure of themselves, and feel rejected and unloved. The woman at the office who never gets invited to anything but puts on a brave face. The man whose wife left him, and he never quite knew why. People struggling with loneliness, difficult relationships, afraid of being hurt and rejected again and again and again. The world can be hard on our hearts. Jesus invites us to live in his love. We don't need to run from his love, be afraid of it, or fear the consequences. God didn't express his love from a lofty throne in the heavens. He lived among us to care for the people, to weep over their heartaches, to suffer and die. He showered us and showed us power and hope in life everlasting. He came for more than theology or religion. He came to teach us how to live in his love, to care for one another, to love without fear, and to reach out to the lonely, insecure, and the scared, to care for ourselves in a way that pleases God. I thought that was amazing that Ray had this devotion, right? Now, Rob doesn't get any Ray stuff. He's connected to something else. And then Rob called, and I'm gonna teach this devotion today because it's really good, about taking care of yourself. And then he calls me up, and one of my best friends is like, man, I'm not deflating. I'm not chilling. I'm not relaxing. I'm not doing it. And this is one of the reasons why. And he even said it to me on the phone. Sometimes when we try to just rest, just listen, we feel guilty. I should be doing something. I should be doing something more. There's more to do. We must do the next thing. You know who's the worst at that? Me. I am so bad at that. I do school assignments a week ahead so that I'll have an extra week just to think about it. It's like, what is wrong with you? Everything. That's besides the point. Here's my point to bring this up. We need to have an understanding that it's not selfishness to take care of yourself. It's not selfish to relax. Remember, in the framework of the commandments of 7 days, one of those days people were supposed to do nada. And the reason that God put that in there wasn't because God needed the break. He put that in there because we need the break. Remember Pastor Morris's book, Take the Day Off? I still think it's the best title besides the Bible. I mean, it's just a great idea because from time to time, you got to stop. And Jesus said to his own disciples, come ye apart and rest a while. It's not come ye apart and sin a while. It's come ye apart and rest a while. Take a deep breath. Relax, rest, Sabbath, because that's how God designed us to function best, not to go 24/7, 7 days a week. He'll do that, but to be aware that we need downtime, relax time, take a deep breath time. And this is where, in this show, you'll hear me talk about different theologies, different things. But I also tell you on a regular basis, don't take things so seriously. Don't be so intense that you're just like, and then you're always uptight because you're going to send your blood pressure through the roof. That's not going to help anybody. You want to have your vessel okie-dokie so that God can use you whenever he wants to. That involves you making sure you understand to take care of yourself. And part of taking care of yourself is resting. Now, I'm not telling you to be lazy. I'm not, and this is not for people who are like, who do nothing all the time. This is for the, I guess they call them type A personalities. I don't know. It's for the people that are on high D all the time, drive, 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 in their minds. There has to be a settling. There has to be a peace. That's why whenever I talk about storms and Jesus speaking to the wind and the waves, most of those people can relate to that because that's what's going on inside their brain. And if you need to just decompress, then you need to spend that time with the Lord. It's not bizarre. In fact, it's a model that Jesus gave us to separate himself from everything and everyone, just hang out with the Father and take a deep breath. There was a lot that he had to go through, a lot that he knew he was going to encounter, but that time with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit as they communed is priceless. It's so valuable. And for your life, it's valuable. So there's some of you that are just high stress all the time doing all that stuff, and you need to just stop and take a deep breath. I know it's just the most difficult thing, right? Here you go. I'm going to give you the five letters that are just the hardest for so many people to hear. Ready? Relax. Relax. Now, that doesn't mean be lazy. That doesn't mean any of that. But it does mean you got to take care of yourself. And if God built into the commandments a need for us to rest, I would think we would all get it. That commandment, again, not for God's sake, not so he can get a break. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. But we do. We need to. And isn't that just an amazing testimony that the human body must sleep in order to live? Because after a certain amount of time, all the wiring goes nutsy cuckoo. Maybe that's a testimony from God saying, slow down, you crazy child. Yeah, Dave, that's a song. I don't care. It's still true. We need to relax. Take it easy. Take a deep breath. Enjoy God and his peace and his quiet and his grace. Got it? Okay. I give that to you for free. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand this guilt, can't stand this shame. It may be false, but it feels...
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.